when a promise turns into an ugly mess. When a promise turns into an ugly mess. I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 19. I said John 19, that's John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And when you have John chapter 20, go with me to Matthew chapter 28. John chapter 20, Matthew chapter 28. John chapter 20, I'm going to start at verse 19. It says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and said in the midst of them, and stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and just let Matthew chapter 28 sit on your lap. The Lord has put two words on my heart this morning, and the two words are simply ugly mess. Ugly mess. There's people here this morning and you are in circumstances that has just turned into an ugly mess. And in your heart it has brought you to a place of despair. It's brought you to a place of hopelessness. It's brought you to a place of weariness. It's brought you to a place of just wanting to give up and to quit because the circumstances seem to have turned so bad. And in your heart, you just feel very overwhelmed. But beloved, God has a word regarding the ugly mess that you're facing today. And I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 28. This is the story, the passage of scripture that the Lord just woke me up very early this morning and really began to speak something to my heart. Look with me in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. It says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he had said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And in verse 6, I'm really emphasizing these words, as he had said. So here, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. And one of the other gospels tells us very plainly that when she came to the tomb at this time, there was such a grief in her heart that she was grieving, that she was in a state of mourning. And so she comes with spices in hand and with a grieving heart. And the Bible tells us that the angel spoke to her and said, I know you seek Jesus, but he's not here. He's risen again as he had said. He reminds Mary that Jesus had already told her that he was going to rise again. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe a few times, but Jesus had spoken that promise to her. I will be crucified, but I will rise again. So the question is, grieving at the tomb with spices in hand, how come Mary's heart is not able to hear his words now? How come her heart, she's not able to hear those words in her heart, I shall rise again. She's at the tomb with spices and a lamenting heart, and she wasn't really able to hear those words about the resurrection that Jesus had spoken. So why is she not able to hear those hearts? Why is there not a place of faith in her heart that's able to hear those words? Well, brothers and sisters, here's what the Lord really began to speak to my heart. Mary was at the crucifixion. Mary saw the horribleness of the crucifixion. Beloved, I want to tell you something. The crucifixion was a very gruesome sight. The crucifixion was a very, very gory sight. In other words, if you'll let me have permission here, the crucifixion was a bloody mess, is what it was. And when she saw the crucifixion of Jesus, she was so traumatized by what she saw. She was so traumatized by the blood. She was so traumatized just by what she saw that she wasn't able to hear now the resurrection. She wasn't able to hear now the promise that Jesus had given her about the resurrection. And so here's my message today. This is the purpose of my message today. There are people here. God put a promise in your heart. But right now the situation has turned so ugly you can't hear the promise. You can't see the promise. And the word that really keeps resounding in my heart is the word relationships. This, the promises we're talking about, the situations that we're talking about that have seemed to turn into really an ugly mess, it can apply to other things, but what's on my heart is relationships. I believe God has made promises to some of us about relationships with parents, relationships with children, maybe even relationships with spouses. God has given us promises about these relationships, but it seems like the situation has turned into nothing but an ugly mess. God has given us these promises about relationships with people that we love, people that are close to our heart, that we want to see God heal, we want to see God restore, but it seems like the promise has turned into an ugly mess. And there are people sitting here this morning in their heart, in your hearts, you're crying out, God, you've promised me that you is going to restore this relationship. God, you promised me that you was going to heal this relationship. But God, that's not what I'm seeing now. It just seems like the situation has just revolved into a big mess, an ugly mess. And that's where Mary was at. That's a simple truth, but I want us to see it. She was so traumatized by the picture she saw at the crucifixion. She was so traumatized by it that she couldn't hear that promise in her heart. But here is the word that God has placed in my heart this morning. Yes, in Mary's life, the cross was a hideous mess. It was a revolting mess. And what I mean by mess, I don't mean sloppy. I mean it was just very messy. A very gory sight. But Jesus made a promise to her that he would rise again. And he kept that promise and he rose from the dead. Beloved, as ugly a scene as the cross was to the eye, he kept that promise and he rose from the dead. And maybe what you're facing today looks like an ugly mess. Maybe it looks like the situation. God has made you promises about something, but right now the situation is just ugly. But God is saying, as I have kept my promise to Mary, I can keep my promise to you. I can raise my promises from the dead. Doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter how ugly it may appear. I can raise it from the dead. And I will raise it from the dead. That's the promise of the Lord. Now, beloved, if you'll just allow me, I want to show you my altar call this morning. I want to show you ultimately what God wants to do this morning. And then I want to backtrack because there's something that the Lord wants us to see in John chapter 20. I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7 says, be careful but for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord wants to do this morning. There are some saints here that are facing some impossible situations. There are some saints here like Mary that you're looking at the ugly mess of the situation that's before you. And in your heart, it's just so hard to believe for the promise. But this morning, ultimately, God wants to bring us to this altar. And He wants to speak peace to our heart. He wants to speak peace to our heart. He wants to bring an assurance to our heart that He is more than able to resurrect these impossibilities. These situations that look so impossible that's going on in our life. The problems that are going on in our life that right now just look so impossible. Situations going on in our life that look so ugly. And I'm repeating that word because that's what God put in my heart. God wants to bring us to this altar this morning and He wants to put an assurance in our heart. Listen, I can resurrect it from the dead. The promises, in spite of what you see going on right now, the promises I put in your heart, I want to resurrect them from the dead. I want to put that peace in your heart. I want to put that assurance in your heart that I can do this. Beloved, if Philippians 4, 6 and 7 teaches us anything, it teaches us this. Peace is the evidence that God gives to His people that He has heard their prayers. Peace is the evidence God gives to His people that He has heard their prayers. He says, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, the peace of God will keep your heart. In other words, God is saying, listen, when you bring your situation to me, your impossibility to me, and you begin to pour it out to me, the evidence that I heard your prayer is I'm going to send my peace into your heart. And that's my way of assuring you I have heard your prayer. Now listen, when you pray, it doesn't mean things are going to change overnight. When we pray, it doesn't mean things are going to get better. In fact, they can sometimes get even worse. But even though things may not get better, sometimes they even go the other direction and get worse. The peace in the heart says, listen, no matter what you see, you have to know in your heart, I heard your prayer and I'm working. And that's what the Lord wants to do this morning. Maybe situations aren't going to change overnight. In fact, maybe they might get a little worse. But the Lord's heart is this, I want to bring you to this altar. As you pour your heart out to me, as you one more time lift these things that are on your heart to me, I want to fill you with my peace today. And I want you to understand that your prayers aren't falling on deaf ears. I am hearing your prayers. I'm hearing your prayers. But see, in order to receive this peace, there's an attitude of heart the Lord wants to tackle this morning. Flip real quick with me back to John chapter 20. In part of our text this morning, we read about Thomas. And what I really feel like the Lord wants us to see this morning is that in this story, Thomas's problem isn't that he didn't believe. Now, I want to show you something here. It's not that he didn't believe. There's something here that we really need to see. So look with me at verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, brothers and sisters, here's just what the Lord ministered to my heart. Thomas's problem wasn't that he didn't believe. Thomas's problem was he refused to believe. His problem is he hardened his heart and he resolutely said in his heart, I refuse to believe. I will not believe. That's the problem that's going on with Thomas here. See, brothers and sisters, listen, when you've walked as close to the Lord Jesus as Thomas walked, and when you followed as close to the Lord Jesus as Thomas followed, there is a faith in the heart to believe. Even for the impossible, there is a faith in the heart to believe. And yes, there will be struggles. Yes, there will be battles. Yes, there will be fears that try to rise up. There's going to be battles in the mind. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, there is a faith in the heart to believe. Listen, as Christians, God has designed us to believe. And I think about what Pastor Teresa said. She said, it's in our spiritual DNA. It's in us. God has designed us to believe, even for the impossible. I believe with all my heart, when you're really walking in fellowship with Christ, whatever impossibilities, whatever crisis rises up, the natural response in a believer's life is for faith to rise up in the heart. We were designed that way. Henry Blackaby, a wonderful man of God, said this. He said, God's people were designed for crisis. A crisis is an opportunity for God to create a highway over which he can impact the people. God's people were designed for crisis. Brothers and sisters, so often when we hear the word crisis, the definition that comes to our mind is, I feel threatened, or the definition that comes to mind is calamity or tragedy. But the word crisis actually means a turning point. A turning point. Brothers and sisters, in time of crisis, when God's people respond in faith, it is a turning point in someone's life. God's people were designed for crisis. Not that we welcome crisis and we're thankful for crisis, but the way God has designed us, Christ is glorified through crisis. Someone is impacted. The world around us, someone's finding a turning point in their heart because we have become a highway to impact the world around us. So Thomas hardened his heart and refused to believe. What was it that he hardened his heart to? Well, look with me at verse 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So brothers and sisters, Thomas is surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. He is surrounded by a people saying, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. All of us, we are witnesses. We have seen the Lord. But Thomas refused to believe their report. He willfully hardened his heart to their testimony and witness. Brothers and sisters, let me just say that each one of us is surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Each one of us is surrounded by people that God has done absolute miracles in and through. Beloved, when I look over this sanctuary, I just see certain faces, and I know some of the things that God has brought you through. I know some of the things. Listen, if anyone has a testimony of God's preservation, it's Ms. Gibson. Ms. Gibson over here to my right. I have known Ms. Gibson many years as a pastor, and I have seen her walk through things and walk through things and walk through things, and I can never deny in my heart, God is a preserving God. God is a providing God. Brothers and sisters, all we have to do is look all around us, and we can see testimonies in people's lives of things that only God can do. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Surrounded. And yet, in many assemblies like this across our country, there are those that can sit in an assembly like this and harden their heart and refuse to let faith in and be assured and comforted by the faithfulness of God. In assemblies like this, people can sit in these kind of assemblies and refuse the report and refuse the testimony and refuse to acknowledge the miracle working power, faithfulness of God. This is what Thomas did. Beloved, understand, whatever we are facing in life, God has peace for his people. In our text in John chapter 20, Jesus says three times, he says, peace be unto you. And each time he's speaking peace to three different needs that are sitting before him. I just want to look at these needs. I want you to look with me at verse 19 and 20. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the disciples were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus comes to these fearful men. He speaks peace to them. And then immediately he shows them the results of the cross. He shows them his scars. He shows them the nail prints in his hands. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, don't be afraid. I died for you. I died for your sins and I was resurrected from the dead. You don't have to be afraid. Peace be unto you. And my question this morning is this. Are there people here this morning that just need the assurance of the love of God? Are there people here this morning that just need the assurance of the triumph of the cross? Are there people here this morning that just need the assurance that the resurrected Christ is living within my life, living within my heart, and he's changing me and he's transforming me and he's doing something in my life that I could never do in my own strength? Are there people here this morning in that kind of shape, in that kind of boat? The Lord is saying, I have peace to speak to you this morning. I have peace to give to you this morning. Look with me at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So Jesus is saying, be at peace. My Father has a will for your life. It's the same will you saw me daily walk out in my relationship with my Father when I walked among you in the earth. So my question this morning is, are there people here today, you don't know what your future holds? You know, I think about our interns that are going to be graduating. Many are going to be, you know, leaving Mount Zion. Is there fear in your heart? Is there anxiety in your heart? Lord, I don't know where I'm going from here. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus is saying, I have peace to give unto you because I have a will for your life. If your heart is mine, if your life is available to me, I have a direction for your life. I have a place to plant you. I have a place to go. The Lord is saying, I have peace for you today. Are you going to tell me where we're going to go, Lord? No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you I have peace for you today because I have a will for your life. I have a will for your life. Verse 26 and 27 says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Brothers and sisters, I call this the restoring peace. Jesus is restoring Thomas. Jesus is breaking through his will. Jesus is breaking through his stubbornness. Jesus is breaking through his unbelief, and he's bringing him to a place of repentance. And restoring him back to his place as a follower, as a worshiper, as a servant. This is a restoring peace. And beloved, I just have to ask this question. Are you here today in need of restoration? Has sin or unbelief or stubbornness just took your heart and taken you down a wrong path? And in your heart, you feel such a need just to fall down before him in brokenness and repentance. And to ask the Lord, just restore me. God, in my heart, I feel such a need just to fall before you in brokenness and repentance. And God, when I do that, will you just restore me? Brothers and sisters, the good news is there is repentance and restoration with God. And if you're sensing that in your heart today, if you're sensing that in your life today, that's just the evidence that one more time, God is calling you back to his side to be a follower, to be a worshiper, to be a servant because he loves you. And what about breakthroughs? You see a lot of breakthrough going on in Thomas's life. He's breaking through his will. He's breaking through his stubbornness. He's breaking through his unbelief. Are we here this morning saying, God, I have so many areas in my heart, I need you to break through. God, when I look at my heart, I just see areas in my life where, God, I need an absolute miracle. God, I've tried it in my own strength. I tried to change in my own strength. I tried to change in my own religious zeal. I tried to change myself, but Lord, the walls are still there. And God, I need you to break through. I need you to break through the impossibilities, places in my own heart that I can't change. Guess what? God has peace for you today. God is here to say to you, yes, you know what? You sense these impossibilities in your heart, but don't despair. I have peace to give you today. I can break through in your life, in your heart. Whatever your need is today, God is here to speak peace. But we need to open our hearts and believe. I really sense the Lord speak to me. Faith is standing at the door of our hearts waiting to come in. It's just right there. Faith is standing right there at the door of our hearts, just ready to come in. And we need to open our hearts to His Word and believe. We need to open our hearts to all the wonderful testimonies around us of God's faithfulness and working power and believe. Believe that whatever situation, believe whatever promise seems to have turned into an ugly mess, God can raise it from the dead. Well, right here, it would be easy for someone to say, Pastor Tim, it was easy for these saints to believe. Jesus is standing before them and they see Him with their natural eyes. It's so much easier for them to believe because they saw Him with their eyes. I don't have this opportunity. When I'm in a crisis of my life, facing all the problems and dilemmas and fears and distress, He doesn't suddenly appear and I see Him with my eyes and I know He's there. It was so much easier for Mary and Thomas to come back into faith and rest because in the middle of what they were going through, He suddenly appeared and there He was and they saw Him with their eyes. You know, the Lord knew this kind of mindset would settle into His church. He knew that was a mindset that would plague the minds of His people. And it still does today. It really does. Well, it was so much easier for them to believe because He appeared. They saw Him with their eyes. They knew He was there. They saw Him. But brothers and sisters, Jesus addressed this mindset. Look with me at verse 28 and 29. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So at this very moment in time, Jesus is stepping back and He's looking down the corridor of time and He sees me and you. Jesus sees saints that have never seen Him or seen His scars with their natural eye. Jesus is seeing saints that would have to overcome their godless culture, overcome the pagan psychology of a lost world, overcome all the crises that invade their lives, overcome the horrendous persecution of being a Christian in a Muslim world without ever seeing Him with their eyes. And He says, blessed are you that have not seen, but believed. Now the word blessed here, the implication isn't those that do not see but believe so they shall be blessed. The implication is this, those who have not seen but believe, they have a special blessing. They have a special blessing. So we ask ourselves, okay, those that don't see but believe, what is this special blessing? Well, here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. The more we live by faith and not by sight, the more the eyes of the heart have the ability to see Him. The more the eyes of the heart have the ability to behold Him. Beloved, you can look at something with your natural eye, you can even study it, and still not grasp the weightiness of it. But when you see it with your heart, but when you experience it with your heart, it transforms you. And that's what the Lord is saying. I heard a woman that lost her physical sight. When asked about her blindness, she said these words. Being blind, I am seeing a beauty I've never seen before because I learned to see with the eyes of my heart. Beloved, there is a beauty in Christ that only those who walk by faith and not by sight can see. But when you see it, it transforms you. It changes you. I want to end with this scripture this morning. Will you go with me to Romans chapter 15? Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. I just want to look at the first five words at the beginning. It says, now the God of hope. Beloved, that's His name. Listen, God can only offer His people hope. He can't offer his people discouragement. He can't offer his people hopelessness. The only thing he can offer his people is hope. And this is what I just want to say. Doesn't the cross show us that no matter how ugly a situation may turn, if God made a promise, he can raise it from the dead? Thinking about Mary standing there at the cross and seeing everything that she saw, the trauma of it, the goriness of it, the gruesomeness of it, and how traumatized she was by what she saw. But doesn't the cross show us, tell us again, that no matter how ugly things may turn, if God made you a promise, he can raise it from the dead. Now let's finish the verse. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is just in a nutshell. You know why you lost your joy? You know why you lost your peace? Because you quit believing. You quit believing. In other words, those who I'm specifically talking to, you're looking at this ugly, what you call an ugly, it's not just an ugly mess, it is an ugly mess. And you stepped out of the realm of faith and you're walking by sight. That's what Mary did. And therefore she couldn't hear in her heart, I'm going to resurrect this. But beloved, the Holy Spirit is here one more time to quicken our hope again. To speak peace to our heart again. Doesn't matter how impossible, how ugly the situation may look. How ugly it may have turned. If God gave you a promise, he can resurrect it from the dead. Stand with me this morning.